Jonah chapter 1, first thing this morning. The title of my message this morning is Coming Through the Crisis. Coming Through the Crisis. I'm sure all of us here this morning have experienced a crisis event in our life, have we not? I'm sure all of us here have experienced a crisis event. It could be that during that time we would wonder how we'd ever get through the crisis. In California this week, a man walked into an IHOP. Who heard of that? In California this week, a man walked into an IHOP restaurant there, and he shot and wounded and killed several folks there. I think a couple of them was our service folks. And these folks in our family are going through a crisis this morning. They lost some loved ones that they love and care deeply for. And this family is going through a crisis today. There are a record number of forest fires in Texas right now. I believe the last number I heard of homes that have been destroyed was around 1,000 or better. Those folks are going through a crisis right now. They lost their homes. They lost all that they had. And they're going through a crisis. And though we may never fully understand the full details and the depths of the crisis and the reasons for the crisis on this side of eternity, what are some things that we can learn from the crisis? What are some things that from the crisis that we can see how we become stronger Christians and better Christians for having been through it? Well, I want to share with you this morning that whatever crisis you're facing today, or whatever crisis you have been dealing with for some time in your life, I want to show you this morning that you can come through the crisis, whatever it is. How do you come through the crisis, and what are some things that we can know and learn from it? Well, I want to share with you some truths from the Word of God this morning on coming through the crisis. Well, let's begin reading here in the book of Jonah, chapter 1. And let's read from verse 1 to verse 6. The Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. But the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." Though there are many different causes for the crisis that comes into our lives, sometimes the crisis we are in is because of us. You believe that? You ever got yourself in a mess because it's your own fault? Yeah, all of us have. We've all got ourselves into some predicaments, haven't we? Yeah, sometimes we're in a crisis because, and that wasn't something anybody else did or anything like that. Sometimes we're in it because of us, because we put ourselves there. Yeah, we see here that this crisis came into Jonah's life because it was his own fault. It wasn't nobody else that put him there. God did put him there, and nobody else put him there. He put his own self there because of what he did and because of what he failed to do. The Bible teaches us that this crisis came into Jonah's life because he was running away from God and because he was disobeying the command of God. How many of you have been in a crisis before and it was your own fault? I'm sure all of us have. Yes? And sometimes we just get ourselves into some real doozies, don't we? Yeah. We just really get ourselves into some real doozies. Well, God gave Jonah a place. Think about this. God gave Jonah a place. God gave Jonah a purpose. God gave Jonah a plan. And God gave Jonah a people to go to. Everything that Jonah needed, God gave him. He wasn't in any kind of, I don't know what I need to do or where I need to go or anything like that. God gave him those things. God gave him a purpose. He gave him a plan. He gave him a people. He gave him a place to go. But he didn't want to do that. So what he decided to do is he decided to get on board a ship and go in the opposite direction. The Bible says that he went below deck and he thought to himself, maybe now that I'm down here, God won't find me here. Maybe God will never know that I am right here. However, God knew exactly where Jonah was. God knew exactly where Jonah was. He tried to run from God, but he couldn't get away from him. The Bible says, and as he ran from God and he went down below that ship, the Bible says that God sent a storm his way that he would never forget. God sent a storm his way that he would never forget. Now, God sent the storm, but Jonah brought it upon himself. The Bible says that the wind was strong and the waves were fierce, so much so that the Bible tells us that the ship was like to be broken. And so as Jonah was down there in the bottom of that ship, disobeying God and running from God, God sent this terrible storm his way. So much so that he thought that he would probably die. All the men on the ship thought that they were going to die. And they said, look, everybody needs to cry out to their own God. And so they go down there below the ship and they see Jonah there and they encourage him to get up and cry out to God so that maybe his God would save them. Sometimes we go through a crisis, not just because of ourselves, because we put ourselves there, but sometimes we're going through a crisis because others put us there. Believe that? These men that were on board that ship, they were going through the same thing that Jonah was going through. Well, these men hadn't done anything, but because of one, the rest had to suffer. You ever heard this in school? You ever heard the teacher say? You ever heard the teacher say anything like this? Maybe some of you here have said this before. Well, if one does it, you can't allow one, because if you allow one to do it, then everybody's got to suffer for it. You ever heard anybody say that? Especially when everybody's in school. Yeah. If one does it, everybody's got to suffer for it. Well, that's kind of what we have here. And sometimes we go through a crisis situation, not because we put ourselves there, but because somebody else has done something that put us there. Now, these men were on board this ship, and they were going through the time of their life as well. But not because of anything they had done, but because of who they were with, because who was with them. The common thought of people back then, which is still a common thought of people today, is that whenever people are going through a hard time, that's because that means God's judging them. And that's not always the case. Though we know that God does do that, but that's not always the case. We understand that that even though we're going through some hard times, it's not always because we've done something wrong and God's just wanting to punish us for how we've been and for what we've done. Jesus said in the book of Luke, Jesus said this. He was talking about some of these men who were here, talking about some folks that had died in the book of Luke chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. And as Jesus was talking to these men, he brought up a couple of things that the people knew about. And Jesus said, do you think that these men are worse sinners than these others? In the book of Luke, take a look at it. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. Hold your place here and look at Luke 13, 1 to 5. Notice some things that Jesus said. Verse 1. He says, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Evidently, the priests were in the temple, and as these priests were in the temple, these Roman soldiers came in and killed them as they was making the sacrifice there in the temple. And Jesus said there in verse 2, he says, suppose you that these Galileans were sinner above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? Verse 3, he says, I tell you, nay. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Jesus mentioned, again in verse 4, He said, or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell, and slew them. Think you that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you nay. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. These folks and their families didn't go through this crisis in their life because they were worse sinners than anybody else. But though the same thought today as it is back then, that if somebody is going through a bad time, then they must have brought it upon themselves. Well, that's not necessarily true. We don't always understand why we go through things on this side of eternity, as I've already said. Sometimes we bring it upon ourselves. Sometimes we're in it because of others. Sometimes it's us, sometimes it's others, and sometimes it's unexpected. Sometimes there's unexpected things that come in our life. Now, we just talked about the Lord Jesus said, now those men that were in that temple, they were in there serving God. They were in there doing what they thought was right. And these men, they just come in there and they killed them. He said, but just because this happened to them doesn't mean that they were terrible people. Doesn't mean that they were worse sinners than anybody else. But you know what? Sometimes things happen because they're just unexpected. It's unexpected. He begins to talk about them, about the Tower of Siloam that fell. He said there was men out there and that tower fell down. And when that tower fell, it killed some people. He said, but do you think that just because that happened, that meant that those folks were bad people? Do you think they were worse sinners than anybody else in Jerusalem? Do you think they were worse sinners than you because that happened to them? He said, that's not it. He said, but unless you repent, you all likewise perish. And so all he was trying to say is, look, sometimes things happen. Sometimes things just happen. Sometimes it's because of us. Sometimes it's because of others. And sometimes it's just unexpected. Things just happen. Jonah was in this crisis he was in because of himself. But the others who were there were in this crisis because of Jonah. How many of you have ever had an unexpected crisis come in your life? Yeah. We've all been in it because of ourselves. We've all been in it because of others. And we've all been in it because of something unexpected. Sometimes things happen. Sometimes things just don't go right. Sometimes things just don't go the way we have planned out or the way we want them to. Sometimes things just happen unexpected. But whenever these things happen, whether it's because of you or somebody else, or whether it's just something unexpected that happens, what we need to understand and know today is that God can bring us through the crisis. Is that God can bring us through the crisis. When we went back home for a visit, just this last time, we went out to dinner with my cousin and his wife. They're police officers. And they've been police officers for some time. And as we rode around in Winston-Salem, he was telling me, he said, Brian, he said, every corner around here, there's a memory. He said, every corner around here, there's a memory. He said, I remember what happened here. I remember what happened there. I remember what happened here. I remember what happened there. Every corner in Winston-Salem in that area had a memory for him. And as we was driving through there, we saw this old lady. It was maybe 9 o'clock. And there was this older lady who was on the side of the road. She was a homeless person. She had a bicycle. And he said, you see that woman right there? And I said, yeah. He said, she don't mean no harm to nobody. He said, but we all know who she is. He said, you know why she's homeless? I said, why is that? He said, that woman used to be a teacher. She was a professor. She had a child. The child got killed on a bike. And ever since that child got killed on that bicycle, it was something she was never able to get over. And I know that's got to be a tremendous thing. And so from that point forward, for the rest of her life, as far as up to this point, this crisis event in her life has always been there. And it's been a continual crisis. Something that she has not yet been able to escape from. And I began thinking to myself, man, I sure do wish that lady would understand that God could bring her through this. He began to tell me about another story, about how not just a few weeks before, how there was a man there, he was 28 years old, new on the police force, was engaged, good Christian man. And he was in pursuit. And as he was in pursuit, he wrecked his car. His police car went down an embankment and hit a tree. Well, his police car went down an embankment and hit a tree. He radioed in, and he said, he gave some codes, I don't know what all the codes were, but he gave some codes, another way he had wrecked, told him he had wrecked. Well, then a couple minutes later, he got back on the radio, and he said, the car is on fire, I need you to hurry up and help. About a minute or two went by. He got back on the radio. And he said, my car is on fire. He said, I am on fire. He said, somebody, please come, send somebody. They weren't able to make it. By the time everybody got there, the car was completely engulfed in flames. His family today going through a crisis. They need to know that God can get them out of it. As difficult and hard as it may be, they need to understand that we serve a God that could bring us through any crisis in our life. No matter where we're at, no matter what we're going through, they need to understand, and we need to understand today that we serve a God that has yet to lose His power. Amen? We serve a God that has yet to lose His ability to be able to save people and bring people from where they're at. We have got to understand that we have yet to serve a God that is able to reach down and deliver people from the crisis that they're in their life. No matter where they're at, no matter what they're going through. In verse 5 here, in Jonah chapter 1, we saw the chaos of this crisis. Look at it. Notice what he says. He said, the mariners were afraid. And we're going through a crisis. Ain't that a lot of what we are? Man, we're afraid. And notice he says, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship. The wares is the cargo. And so they begin to throw the cargo off the ship, because they just knew that they was going to sink. They just knew they was going to die. And these men were in a crisis, and they was doing everything that they could just to survive. And so they began casting over all the cargo of the ship. However, their attempts to save themselves were feeble at best. Not only do we see the chaos in the crisis, but I also want us to see the control of the crisis. The control of the crisis. We saw the cause of the crisis. We saw the chaos in the crisis. Now I want us to see the control in the crisis. Look at verse 4. Look what happens. Why did this storm come Jonah's way? Well, the Bible says, but the Lord sent out a great wind. The Lord sent it out. The Lord sent out the great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea. God sent it out. Just as those disciples, you remember in the Gospels, the disciples that was out there on the ship, and they was in that storm out there, you remember that? Yeah. They was out there and they thought they was going to die. They said, man, everything was dark, and they just knew that they was going to perish out here in the sea. And then what do we see? The Lord Jesus comes walking to them on the water. The Lord Jesus comes walking to them. And He gets into the ship and He says, peace be still. Peace be still. These men were in a crisis in their life. But what we learn from that is the same one that brought it, because God sent that storm as well. The same one that brought it is the same one that can say, peace be still. That's the control in the crisis. Because see, whenever we have these crisis events come in our lives, we think that there is no control. There's chaos. But amidst the chaos, there is control. We have to understand that God in our crisis can bring us through whatever crisis it is. Whatever crisis that has taken place. The only way the sea became calm was for these sailors. And the only way the sea became calm for these sailors is because Jonah eventually told them here to throw him overboard. Now imagine that. Okay. You want this storm to stop? Just throw me off the ship. Wow. The men didn't want to do that. They said, no, we don't want to do it. So they began rowing and they tried more and they tried harder and they tried harder. But sometimes our feeble attempts to get out of the crisis just don't do it. Look at verse 17. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, now the Lord. I tell you what, the Lord's doing a lot of sending and a lot of preparing here. He says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now look at chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. The Bible tells us here that as Jonah was in this crisis in his life, that God prepared something. God prepared a fish. The Bible says, God prepared this fish to come by and swallow Jonah up as they threw him out into the sea. Now get this visual image in your mind. They take Jonah, they throw him out in this terrible storm that is about to destroy them all. And as Jonah is in the sea, surely he knows he's going to perish. Surely he knows he's going to die. Well then all of a sudden, when he thought that things couldn't get any worse, a huge fish comes up and gobbles him up. And now here he is. In the stomach of a fish. How could it ever get any worse than that, we think? Man, how terrible. Has anybody here ever been in the belly of a fish? No? I hope you never do. I hope you never are. Yeah, but imagine what he was going through. Imagine how terrible this must have been. Well, when he was, for one, the storm was bad enough. Then he got thrown out into the sea, and then surely he thought he was going to die. And now a fish has come up and swallowed him up. And now here he is in the belly of this great fish. And he described it as this in verse 2. He said this. Out of the belly of hell cried I. He described it as like being in hell almost. That was his hell, so to speak. Everybody been in something like that? That you would probably call that? Yeah. That was where he was at in his life. And when he thought nothing else could get any worse, now here he was and he said, man, I'm psych. I feel like I am going, I feel like I'm in hell right now. I'm crying out of the belly of hell. And as I studied this, I got to thinking. That sometimes what we think is our hell is really our helper. Think about this. If God wouldn't have prepared that fish, what would have happened to Jonah? That's exactly right. However, God prepared a fish to swallow Jonah up to save him from a certain death. And I got to thinking, you know what? Sometimes God may have to put us through a little hell to bring us where we need to be. To get us back. It could be that sometimes God has to put us into a place where we would say that I am crying unto you, God, from it seems out of the belly of hell. However, God brought him. God prepared a fish. God knew that if they threw him off that ship, he was going to die out there. And so what God did was, is he said, I'm going to prepare this fish to save him. To save him. You say, well, I wish God would have just reached down his hand and picked me up and put me on dry land. Yeah, don't always go like we want it to. But there's some lessons that Jonah learned in the belly of that whale. Some lessons that he learned. And sometimes it could be that God has to prepare something else in our life, not so He can hurt us or harm us even more, even though sometimes it seems like that's what's happening. But He's actually bringing us through that and putting us in this maybe unpleasant place to bring us back to where He wants us to be. Because that fish was going to do what to Jonah? It was going to haul him to where God wanted him, wasn't it? That's exactly what it was going to do. This unexpected thing that happened in his life, this unexpected crisis, which he also brought upon himself, God was going to put him in another place, an unpleasant place, to bring him back to where God wanted him to be. And God used that fish to haul Jonah to Nineveh, because that's where God wanted him. And it could be sometimes that God puts us in an unexpected place, in an unpleasant place, because He wants us to be where He wants us to be. And so, as terrible as I know how it had to have been inside the belly of this fish, I do see how God, even though God put him in an unpleasant place, how God saved his life. And sometimes it's in the midst of what we would may call hell ourselves, that maybe it's not so much of a hell as is, maybe it's our helper. Jonah called the belly of that whale hell, but it was actually his helper. The third thing we see is not only the control of the crisis, not only the chaos in the crisis, not only the cause of the crisis, but the other thing is we see the companion of the crisis. Look at verse 2 again. Notice what he says. He says, "And I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord." And then what happened? Look what happened. "And He heard me." And He heard me. "And out of the belly of hell I cried, and Thou heardest my voice." Well, Jonah cried from his hell, the Lord heard him. Understand today that whatever crisis you are in, you have a companion. You have a companion. You have one that will help you come through the crisis. Look at verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7. He says, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto Thee, into Thine holy temple." You say, what is he talking about there? Well, what we're talking about is the temple, the holy temple that's in heaven. And Jonah says, "Look, when I cried unto you, it wasn't like my voice wasn't heard. I was in what I would call the hell of my life. And while I was here, I cried up to you. And when I cried up to you, you didn't just... I know you heard me, because the Bible tells us, it says here, that my voice went into, my prayer went into the holy temple in heaven. It went straight up to you. It went straight to where you are. And I know that you heard me. You heard my prayer. You heard my voice." And so we need to understand today that we have a companion in this crisis. Whatever crisis you're in, you have a companion. The Bible says there's one that sticketh closer than a brother. A companion in the crisis. And when Jonah was in the worst place that he thought that he could be, the Bible says that he cried out unto the Lord, and that the Lord heard him. When I think of companions in the crisis, one is one of the great stories of the Bible that we often think about. Daniel chapter 3 talks about how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we all know that, how they were there, they refused to bow down to the statue of King Nebuchadnezzar. Refused to bow down. And because they refused to bow down and stand up for God, the king said, "Well, we have to take them and we have to throw them into the furnace." And so they gathered them up, and they made sure that the furnace was real hot. And they gathered up those three and they threw them in there in the furnace, and they said, "Now they're gone." But then something unexpected happened. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 3, the Bible says as they looked into this fiery furnace, the Bible says as they looked in there, they said, "Lo, I see four men. I thought we only threw three in there, but I see four in there." And he said, lo, I see four men loose. I thought they were bound up. But he says, lo, I see four men. Not only there, but they're loose. And they're walking in the midst of the fire. And they're not even hurt. Wow. Talk about a companion in the crisis. He says, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Isn't it a great thing to know that whatever crisis we're in, that we have a companion? That we have a companion. That we have a companion that is there going through what we're going through. That knows all about it. The Bible didn't say that the fourth one that was in there, who was like the form of the Son of God, was standing outside the fiery furnace. He wasn't standing outside looking in. No, he was right there in the middle of it, right there with them. Right there in the middle of it, right there with them. And so what they were going through, God was right there. Not just peering in through a glass, but he was right there in the middle of it. Right in the middle of it. And then, isn't a great thing today that we have a companion, the Lord Jesus, our God, who in whatever crisis that we're going through will be right there in the middle of our crisis, right there with us. And if it's His will that whatever crisis we're in does not hurt us, then we will not be hurt by the crisis. Now there are, as I stated, several things that can cause a crisis. Ourselves, us, others, the unexpected. We know that there's chaos in the crisis. We notice that there is also a companion in our crisis. And our companion does what in our crisis? The Bible says there was no hurt that came upon them. And when I got to thinking about that, I said, you know what? There wasn't no hurt. God was with them. That had to give them comfort in their crisis. Comfort in the crisis. Sometimes what we think is our hill is actually our helper. So understand today that whatever crisis event that you may be going through in your life, you're not standing there alone. I know sometimes you may feel that way. I know sometimes it seems that way. I know sometimes it seems dark where you're at. But understand, one like unto the Son of God is standing right there with you. Going right there, right in the midst of it. Knows exactly what's going on. He can't tell you what's happening from the outside because he's on the inside. He's right there. He's your companion. He'll give you comfort. You say, well, how do we come through the crisis? Because he's our companion. We know that he's there. We know that he cares for us. We know that he comforts us. So as we close today, I just want to leave you with this last thought. Whatever crisis you're in today, understand, no matter how dark it is and whatever you call it, you can come through the crisis. Amen. Amen. I can get every head bowed.